A fire risk at King Edward Hospital. Aishwarya's parents demand answers, and Perth's hot weather continues. It's Tuesday, 28th of February.
The West Live with El Giorgio and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, El.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Yeah, good. So this is going to be the last day we have you filling in for Matt, is that right?
You've got Matt back tomorrow, back in the safe hands of Tinny.
Well, it'd be a shame not having you in the morning, seeing your smiling face. Oh. And now tell us about this Perth heatwave. It's been scorching this week.
Look, it has been and it's going to get worse.
Oh,
We've got one night this week. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday night. It's getting down to a low of 24 degrees and after highs of 37 in the day. Look, we're used to high heat. It's the end of Feb. It's often hot at this time of year. But we've kind of dodged the really, really hot temps this summer. I don't think we've cracked that 40-degree mark this year. So this season, rather. So I think it's going to be a bit of a shock to everyone to have like a good four solid days of it.
And we haven't seemed to have had many of those like rolling blackout situations as well that we've had
summers. Haven't seen any of that.
There was all that talk about, you know, the government having those text messages they were going to send to people. I don't know if that has worked, and maybe that's why we haven't had the blackouts. I'm loathe to give the government too much credit without knowing for sure.
One to follow up today, I think.
Yeah, but we'll see. Maybe a couple of nice beach days left before the end of summer. And now let's talk about Aishwarya. We know the results of the coroner's inquest were handed down, and there's been a big debate about those findings and what has been happening in the health department since Aishwarya's tragic death. Her parents spoke yesterday. It's still so heartbreaking to hear them talk, isn't it?
Even almost 2 years on, it is. It really does pull at your heartstrings. And part of that inquest, the findings, were that they need that dedicated resus team and better nurse-to-patient ratios, two of which the family and the Nurses Federation say are just not up to scratch.
Yeah.
The resus team doesn't even exist. So there's a big black hole there, isn't there? And you can understand why they're so upset about it.
Yeah, and it's just the frustration in their voice that, you know, they've been speaking about this, which is so incredibly difficult to have to come out after the loss of a child and try and fight for the rights of other children, to protect other people's children, and then to have those pleas fall on apparently deaf ears, or certainly, you know, it just highlights the issues that still exist in the health system that led to Aishwarya's death. No sign of them really being fixed anytime soon.
Doesn't really sound like there's been any resolution at this point, does there?
No, not at all. And more challenges in the health system. We're hearing alterations to King Edward Memorial Hospital over the course of decades have left parts of the ageing building dangerously vulnerable to fire, which is not really what you want in a children's hospital, including the neonatal intensive care unit that looks after some of WA's most fragile patients. So these are the premature babies that are born, and there's a fire risk in that ward that looks after them. More than $3 million is currently being spent attempting to correct the deficiencies which were revealed in a fire safety audit completed in 2021. But the West Australian understands the audit findings have been a source of considerable concern for the management of King Eddie's, which is now more than a century old. I think it was built in 1919 or something like that. 1917. As more than 100 years old, and it's slated to be replaced by a new facility at the QE2 Medical Centre. But there's been no date given for the completion of the replacement hospital, which is still in the planning phase, so it's yet to be put out to tender. So it gives you a pretty good idea that King Eddie's is likely to remain in operation for years to come. So things like this fire risk, it has to be addressed immediately because, you know, heaven forbid, there's a fire at the hospital.
Yeah, exactly. These little babies in ICU,
yeah,
of all places, the intensive care unit as well. I mean, any part of the hospital is bad, but that extremely critical care area.
Well, shocking. Do you remember, this is what happened with Princess Margaret Hospital as well. Towards the end there, where everybody knew it was going to be replaced by PCH, it kind of was left to wither on the vine. Elevators weren't working and it just kind of went to rack and ruin. You certainly hope the same thing doesn't happen to King Eddie's. And now talking about fires, a blaze broke out in a spud shed last night.
It did. The one just around the corner from here in Innaloo.
Innaloo spud shed. Been there many times.
Yeah, I don't think it's not significant damage, but a big police, paramedic and fire response to the area, because the Westfield Innaloo is still open. It happened at about 7:30 last night.
Yeah.
So the other shops, some of the other shops were still open. So the shoppers had to get evacuated. Early indicators suggest it was deliberately lit and it is suspicious. So we'll be keeping across that one today.
Spuds roasted.
Yeah.
There's a Rivers store over there in that little complex.
There is.
And a Revo gym. Not much else over there. But yeah, that's poor old Tony Gilardi. We'll wait to hear what the authorities say about that. And now, I don't know how closely you're following this one, but you remember last year there was the big issue with the data breaches and the hacking at Optus and Medibank, their big health insurer. The personal details of millions of Australians were released online. Pretty embarrassing for the companies involved and worrying, certainly, for the Australian government, which is why now Anthony Albanese has proposed that one of Australia's most powerful intelligence agencies, the Australian Signals Directorate, so there, you know, that's some serious spy stuff at the Australian Signals Directorate, might be given Big Brother powers to take over the IT systems of companies that have been targeted by hackers in these far-reaching reforms. So in the case of, say, if this Medibank thing happened again, so the Australian Signals Directorate would be able to come in and take over the IT system of Medibank and try and get things back on track. But business figures have warned that the proposal smacked of government overreach and that the government needs to be careful that they're not sort of over-promising and might not be able to actually deliver this sort of increased cybersecurity, which they're really sort of pumping their own tyres up about at the moment. Albo said that Australia's cybersecurity measures have been off the pace for too many years, probably accurate, I would say.
Yeah.
And so he's announced this 7-year plan, and his goal, pretty lofty one, to become the most cyber-secure nation in the world.
I think we've got a long way to go till we can claim that one after everything that's happened. Goodness me, Albo. All right.
By 2030, he's given himself the deadline there. So I guess we'll see. But he's not going to be easy because his first challenge, forget hackers, his first challenge is going to be the Senate, because to push these kind of Big Brother powers through, he's going to need the sign-off from the Coalition and the Greens, because they hold more than half of the seats in the Senate. And they've already expressed some reservations about, the big government kind of a deal and whether or not, like, if you give the Australian Signals Directorate the powers to just go into a private company, you know, what happened? Like, is the data still safe then? I don't know.
This is really off-brand for Albo. It screams more ScoMo to me, kind of a move.
100%. And you know it's bad whenever the Coalition and the Greens are on the same side
yes,
of an argument.
That's when you know.
Yeah, that's when you know. So we'll be very interested to see where that goes from here. And I'll be very interested to see where this next story goes as well. So Mexico's president has posted a photo. Photo on his social media accounts over the weekend showing what he reckons is a mythological woodland spirit similar to an elf. So the president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, did not seem to be joking when he's posted a photo of something called an alux, which is a mischievous woodland spirit in Mayan folklore. So he said it was taken a couple of days ago of this image. Do you see this thing? It's like, it's a photo of a tree, and then you see in one section of the tree, it looks like there's this white-haired creature with two glowing eyes, probably just an optical illusion more than anything else. No real explanation about why the president of Mexico has immediately jumped to it's an elf.
It's a woodland mythical creature.
It's a mythical creature, which of course, you know, has like unicorns and various other mythical creatures that we might love to believe in, but we don't really necessarily want our elected leaders to be sharing them as facts.
That's a weird one.
Bit of a weird one,
maybe,
right?
Maybe he should investigate that before he tells us all it's a woodland creature.
Yeah, just a little bit of panic there in Mexico.
Sport.
How do you feel about Alistair Clarkson as a bloke?
I had mixed emotions on the interview last night. Yeah, I think he needs to soften his stance a little bit more.
Yeah, he's in an interesting place right now, because he was he was hired at North Melbourne. Then there was some controversy over some of the racism stuff that had been happening at Hawthorn under his watch, and so now Kangaroos coach Alistair Clarkson has defended his temper after he had a clash with a reporter earlier this month. And in this interview, he said he can't guarantee that his temper won't flare up again. The North Melbourne coach apologised in person for his clash with a female journalist, Channel 9 reporter Elizabeth Moss, who was at a North Melbourne training to cover allegations against Taryn Thomas, who sort of threatened a woman, said that he was threatening to distribute an intimate image of a woman. So pretty grubby stuff.
Revenge porn.
Yeah, revenge porn stuff. So pretty grubby by this young AFL player. And so Elizabeth Moss from Channel 9 was there reporting on it. And Clarko has then said to the journalist something along the lines of, "Your time will come," which is similar to what Taryn Thomas said in the text messages to this woman. So I don't, it's not a good look at all, I have to say.
Not in this day and age either. You just can't be saying that, especially to women, and you're not going to get away with it. And also a journalist with a camera and a microphone
and
a whole bunch of people watching on, it's probably not great.
Well, that's the thing that it says to me as well, right? So firstly, it's inappropriate. Secondly, it's like toxic masculinity to
very
the max.
So.
And you're talking about now a competition like the AFL where they've got the AFLW. They're trying to really, you know, rebrand themselves as an inclusive sport for everybody. And so you've got all of that stuff. And then you've just got the fact that it's stupid to say it to, as you say, to a journalist when there's a camera and a microphone. Like, what are you thinking, mate?
I think he might need some diversity training.
Oh,
stat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he needs to have a good hard look at himself. Some of his comments in the interview implied that he did do a little bit of soul searching after the incident, and he apologised to Elizabeth Moss later that day. But, you know, it's not the first time Clarko has done something like this.
Exactly. We know he has a temper, but you also can't apologise to the individual and then double down in the 6 p.m. interview with another journalist later on. I don't really see how that makes sense. Like, you're either sorry or you're not.
Yeah, and it was almost like he was defending Taryn Thomas as well, saying, oh, you know, young guys come into the club and they make mistakes and they do this and that. I don't think it's ever okay to threaten revenge porn.
I suppose you have to support them to a point, but not to that extent.
Yeah, not to coddle them and enable them. Like, there has to be some sort of consequences. Yeah, yes, indeed.
The Wild West.
All right, Elle, it's especially wild in the Wild West today. I don't know if you've noticed, but but I'm holding a puppy right now, the magic of podcasting, and we're joined in the studio for something a little bit different by Louise Rowe from the RSPCA. G'day, Lou.
G'day, thanks for having us.
And so tell us, why are there three puppies in the West Live studio this morning?
Well, because we couldn't bring all nine in. They're part of a litter of nine. Their mum was surrendered to us pregnant in Kalgoorlie. Her owner could just no longer care for her and the needs that were coming. And so she gave birth to nine puppies in our care. They're now 7 weeks old. And soon they'll be going up for people to foster. And then when they're old enough, they can be sterilised. And then the people who are fostering them can adopt them.
And so what's the situation at the moment? Because during the pandemic, we heard so many stories about people wanting to adopt little furry friends to help get them through lockdown, and people were spending a fortune on buying purebred dogs. Has that sort of craze for pets continued, or has it slowed down now?
Well, particularly in the shelter environment, we have seen a slowdown. So, for example, puppies that we would post them online and then they would be adopted within 24 to 48 hours. Now we're seeing them take longer and longer. So you can imagine if that's what it's like for puppies, what it's like for our older animals that we have in care. We're just noticing this trend. They're taking longer. And of course, the backlog comes in, and we're taking record numbers in. So the result of that is we're absolutely chock-a-block at the moment. So if people have been thinking about adding an animal to their family, if they've had those discussions and made the decision that's the right thing for them to do, then we just really encourage people to look at adopting rather than going out and buying one.
Yeah, and you've got a pupper at your place, don't you, Al?
I do. I've got a almost 5-year-old Cocker Spaniel called Alpha, but his nickname's Stewie.
And can we convince you to get another one?
Oh,
we've got three in here in the studio right now.
I would love to take one home, and my husband is the type who'd be like, that's fine. He'd be okay with it. If we weren't moving house, we would absolutely. And they're just such a joy. Even when they grow up, though, they're still, like, I love Alpha more now that he's even grown up. They are. They just enrich your life, honestly.
We've got a cat in our household, Lou. Do you think they socialise okay?
They seem pretty friendly, especially little Fig. Well, I say little, bit chunky.
Little Fig who I'm holding right now is a chunky boy.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? He's so quiet. Like, you would not even know that I'm holding a dog.
He's so chill. I reckon he would be absolutely fine with a cat. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I've been holding him now for probably 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And he has not moved a muscle. He looks completely content.
You can tell that's his personality. That's his vibe.
Yeah, that's my vibe.
So. I think, he's chosen you as his people.
He's my spirit animal. I'm your mummy now. And so what can people do, Lou, to get involved and to try and help out this situation?
So as I mentioned, you know, there's this myth out there that shelters just have, you know, really huge dogs or old dogs or dogs with problems. You know, that's not the case. So we just encourage people who are looking to think about adopting before they go out shopping and to have a look look online, because you never know what little friend that you'll find who'll be your bestie for life. But also just people to take responsibility for their animals as well. You know, we've had such a surge in reports of heat-related incidents over the last few weeks, and it's going to be so hot this week as well. You know, people leaving their dogs in cars. I can't believe I still have to get
today,
that messaging out there. Yeah, it's still a thing. People walking their dogs on hot pavement or hot sand. We've got a dog in with us at the moment who's had to have quite extensive medical treatment on all four of her paws because her pads were burned. People abandoning their pets, just deciding to go away and leaving one bowl of food and one bowl of water in the backyard. And of course, you know, dogs are dogs. The water gets tipped over, you know. Just really urging people to take responsibility for their animals.
Yeah, and I'd encourage anybody to go to the RSPCA website and look at some of the, and visit the centre and see some of the dogs there, because I challenge anybody to look at these, any of these nine puppies, and not have your heart absolutely melt and want to take one home. Oh. Maybe take a couple home.
Yeah, well, we've got 63 animals up for adoption at the moment, and not just dogs and puppies, but also cats and kittens. We've got geese, we've got rabbits, guinea pigs, rats. So whatever kind of little friend you're looking for, I'm sure that you'll find it at RSPCA in Malaga.
All creatures, great and small.
That's it.
Louise Rowe from RSPCA, thanks for coming into the West Live and bringing your little furry friends. You've really brightened up our day.
Anytime. Thanks so much for having us.
And that's your news from the West Australian for Tuesday, February 28. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player.
You've been listening to the West Live with El Giorgio and Ben O'Shea.
We interrupt this broadcast to apologise to the Amazing Race.
The first destination that you have to get yourself to is Canberra.
All right, well, I'm out.
The big new sketch comedy. We interrupt this broadcast. Tonight, 7:30 on 7 and 7 Plus.